No, he doesn't eat like me. For the most part, he ate alone. Unless there was some real particular reason, he was entertaining someone or something like that. And he sat facing the wall. He wouldn't talk to devotees or anything. Just sit there, really absorbed in relishing prasadam. It was a social event. It was like a real meditation. I said, Tom Krishna, I said, Prabhupada, I just swear. But when he was called somewhere or something, then he just, like normal, when he was his regular meals, when he was alone, he'd sit alone, eat, concentrate, wouldn't talk. That's meditation. Although it wasn't particularly taking yesterday's reading in the direction that it went, but it went in that direction, and for me it seems sort of like a Krishna's arrangement, because I know that some of these topics and subjects are there, and some feedback I got from Ram Dass or Prabhupada Rani Pulu or Prana was that it was good. I don't, you know, things that are spontaneous, hard to really sort of duplicate. But I thought that if they were further things, particularly because it was sort of open, that we could continue. I wrote down a couple of points that maybe are sort of repetitive, but which was one that what the role of a committee is in management. Actually, something really struck me with today when I was thinking about it was that you all have very, very little experience in how actually our movements run. Which is sort of natural because you're geographically isolated and because things sort of happen in one particular way, which means that the important thing is to know how it is that Prabhupada wanted the movement to be run and not sort of make it up. Anyway, that was just that came from the concept of what the role of temple council or a committee is in managing a temple. Another point that PV mentioned this to me, but sort of came to me, is how well you communicate amongst each other and the real importance of communication. One aspect of that earlier, I was speaking with Jonavapriya and Ram Dass, and he also brought up one aspect of that, and then actually who the temple is meant to accommodate in terms of full-time devotees, and what its relationship is with people who aren't full-time devotees. These sort of interesting topics. If you have any others, we could discuss. There was an interesting one that Ram Dass brought up. He brought up that the generally, at least that was his perception, was that devotees had been trained that more or less any time you see anyone doing anything wrong, tell anyone. Is that sort of correct?
Don't tell anyone. Tell everybody else if you see something you say wrong.
Yeah. Whatever you see someone doing something, then communicate it. Was that correct? I mean, he's not here, but that was sort of what he communicated to me.
Yeah.
And that's how he translated this word about this harsh communication, that which is not necessarily sort of harsh, but that the brunt of the communication becomes that it's always telling someone, oh, you're not doing this right, or you're not doing that right. And, I mean, yesterday I mentioned that in relationship to the temple president, that, I mean, you just can't, people can't function like that, but he can't, no one can function like that. It becomes, relationships really become dysfunctional, and with children, you can't, if your relationship with a child is that you're correcting him all the time, you're going to have a really aggressive child on your hands in a few years. This really going to have a phobia. You know, you correct them sometimes, but most of the time it's encouragement and love. It's the same thing if the relationship with devotees is always... There's this little book we were all into about 15 years back called The One-Minute Manager. And it was a really good manager. He's only works 1 minute a day. And that minute is that he, at least this point was, is always every day, or every day or on a regular basis, catch someone doing something right and encourage them in that, tell them that you're doing this right. And this idea of always correcting, but that should be done in a very controlled way. Otherwise, then the relationship between everyone, it just ends up, it's critical. And maybe no matter how well-meaning it is, if the communication is always just, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, you shouldn't be doing it like this. So, I mean, there are some people whose real duty it is, department heads, temple president, that they've got to ensure that people are doing their service, and in the line of service that that's done right. And then over and beyond that, it's a matter of really relationship. If the relationship's there, like with a father and a son, then it's sort of natural, but then it also has to be done in a way that it doesn't compromise the relationship. The relationship doesn't change from being father and son to being like a jail warden to a prisoner. that becomes the tenor of the relationship, or a policeman and someone on the street, so that it really remains father and son, and father and son means someone who's giving me shelter and protection, and then when he corrects me, then fine, it's, you know, a part of that. But if that's all it is, then that's what it is. So that's one thing. I don't know if anyone has any points on that. It's not only, it's not something you can't do to the leaders, you can't do it to each other. The real sadhu sangha sort of gets lost. Always looking every time someone opens their mouth, what did I do wrong? And that's not like a healthy consciousness to be.
I think personally, my experience of Baba Bhattra was himself personally, he was very much like that. Because you were on edge all the time round about him, you know, even if you spilled a drop of water, you know, you got crucified for a couple of hours over us. It was really like quite intense, you know, you were like that. So then in association of devotees, there wasn't so many sweet exchanges. It was kind of that kind of thing. You see someone do a similar thing, and personally, I've been guilty of the same mentality, very much so. And because we have no other association apart from him, it's only really when he started recently, when other devotees started coming to the temple, we see how they interact with us, you know, yourself and Indra Maharaj and Govinda Maharaj and all the other Harish Sawyers, how they interact with us. It was like, you know, it's completely different. You didn't feel at edge, and you know, you could actually, you know, speak like a human being. And that's when I personally myself, that's when I started to see that how I thought of the act was way off. And try to change it's quite difficult.
One of the things which was philosophically incorrect,
was a statement that Prabhupada used to often make, was that I don't care if you hate me, as long as you love Krishna. And I couldn't write that one up, because well, Spiritual Master's first duty is to endear his disciple. So surely she was trying to cultivate a loving relationship rather than going around hating your Spiritual Master so that you love Krishna.
Yeah, it's not an either or, it's an and. I'm just looking for the last volume of Prabhupada Lilamrita. What's it called? Uniting Two Worlds? Or no? Then it was Volume 6. It's my karma here. I'm getting the books. It's the sixth volume.
Mm. It doesn't seem to be here.
Excuse me to check.
Yeah. That's, I mean, there is a certain phenomenon. I mean, you've known me for 20 years. I've had my intenser moments. there is a phenomenon where the momentum of everything makes leaders just makes leaders really very functional, just dealing hard to just don't have the time or the luxury to always be, you know, very personal and very loving. Like, for instance, when I come here now, well, I've got nothing else to do. I don't have to worry about the finances. I don't have to worry about what's going on. I don't know who's getting up, who's going to sleep. It's easy to come here and be a nice guy. When you're living and you've got all kinds of burdens, it's always not always like that. So it tends to bring out another. But then, obviously, it's. It's not. Obviously, there's a limit. It shouldn't be always like that. But I know personally that sometimes, you know, so the tendency is to not always catch someone doing something right, but to, you know, point out when someone's doing wrong. But still, we should know that our principle is that, you know, we're sadhusanga means the dhati, but if you're not, we don't get the picture. So, hearing and speaking is, you know, one third of the equation, and then in there, then there's so many things, and then correcting is a real science, really, to sort of correct people. But and sometimes it's like that. Sometimes it's you have to. Shastra is there, Chanaka Pandit, Srila Prabhupada quotes it, you know, sons and disciples and someone else become spoiled by leniency, too much leniency. But for people, so it's a matter of bringing things up. Here, I'll just read this. After discussing back and forth, the devotees finally decided that early the next morning they would take Srila Prabhupada in the bullock cart to Govardhan. The majority of the devotees then left Srila Prabhupada alone for the night. Later that night, Srila Prabhupada received a visit from Niskanchana Krishnadas Babaji, who sat with Prabhupada chanting and sometimes speaking in Bengali. Suddenly, Tamal Krishna and Bhavananda came to Prabhupada's bedside. They were in tears and beside themselves with anxiety. Prabhupada understood. "You request me not to go?" he asked. "Well, Srila Prabhupada," said Tamal Krishna, "I'll tell you, I'm getting so upset sitting in the room upstairs. I was walking around. Two of the devotees told me that this road is so bad that if you go on this road, you're going to be jolted back and forth. The road is terrible. I just can't understand, Srila Prabhupada, why it is, has to be tomorrow that we have to go. Of anybody that wants you to travel, I do. But why do we have to go when you're in this condition? I can't understand it. why are we throwing everything out the window that we must go tomorrow? I can't understand. All right, said Srila Prabhupada softly, immediately agreeing to the proposal that he not go. Jai, Srila Prabhupada, said Bhakti Charu, who was also present. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, said Bhavananda, with great relief. All right, you're satisfied? Now I am, Srila Prabhupada, said Bhavananda. I was in too much anxiety. Never mind, I shall not put you in anxiety. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, this was what I was referring to. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said to Mahakrishna, we're so much attached to you that you practically drive us to madness sometimes. Tonight we're becoming mad. No, no, I shall not do that, said Prabhupada. Prabhuji Maharaj, Prabhupada turned to Nishkinchana Krishna Das Babaji and said, just see how much affection they have for me. Srila Prabhupada said to Mahakrishna, the way you deal with us simply maddens our attachment every moment. It is my duty, said Srila Prabhupada. And the devotees laughed, warmly understanding. Yes, they could understand that that was his duty. By all his actions and dealings, Prabhupada's intention was to capture spirit souls and deliver them to Krishna. His method was loving service, but he did not do it for himself. He delivered them to Krishna. That was his duty. Certainly, wasn't the idea that he should hate we meant to love Vaishnavas, and by loving Vaishnavas, then we learn how to love Krishna.
There was a point you made yesterday, what you were saying that you were talking about politics, and Gisabhasmaraj was saying it's a good thing just to avoid politics. And you're saying it's not a bad thing because politics is bad anyway. So then if you don't just avoid politics and you see politics going on, then what do you do?
Anyway, that's why I was looking for this distributed book at the end, Prabhupada. We don't have it.
Yeah, it's here before.
Huh?
It's very impressive.
Oh, it is. That's what. That's the same one.
No, it's distributed books.
That's a different book.
Yeah.
It's not out there. We already looked at it. No, this is a different book. Well, but you have to go all the way up the top.
No, just next.
Oh, okay. Politics, well, what? You know, politics is like a really dirty thing. It's just a question of, first of all, what we mean by politics. Kutinati, Jiva, Hamsa, Loba, Puja, Nishidachar. So their duplicitous dealings comes into it. In other words, politics means duplicity. And not doing things according to proper sadachar. So I think sometimes we label right dealings as politics. We're not politics. And yet at the other time we may tolerate other things that are actually politics, which we shouldn't. So this duplicity, when I, you know, I speak for a purpose other than actually the real welfare of Vaishnavas, of Krishna consciousness, when I'm criticizing, when I have no authority to do something to it. In other words, it's not my business. And I don't do it at the right time, at the right place, knowingly, but rather I do it to achieve some particular result, which, even if it's I want the right result, but if I do it the wrong way, that's all politics. On the other hand, the authorized person at the right time, at the right place, speaking whatever it needs to be spoken, then that's not necessarily politics. So it's wrong to label right devotee activity politics. And in other words, it's not that every interaction amongst Vaishnavas that deals with issues or even that becomes intense is politics. And on the other hand, when it does happen, then it shouldn't be indulged in. One shouldn't hang around. So I mean, I mentioned principles, but obviously there's a lot of examples. You all know examples. In other words, if a very simple thing, a devotee is concerned, are things happening the way that they should? And, you know, he goes up to someone in the corridor, or it may not be in the corridor, but in some other room, and says, are you happy? Do you really think that things are going on the way they should here? That's politics. Because business isn't to start soliciting others, but rather if someone comes to that devotee and says, I'm really disturbed about something, then he says, well, listen, you go speak to your authority about that, go talk to your department head or whoever your authority is, or go talk to the temple president. And if you feel you have difficulty talking to him, then write him a note saying that you'd like to talk about something. Then that's not politics. But necessarily getting into the issue, if it's not my, well, yeah, tell me about it. Yeah, yeah, I also got the same problem. I think it's a mess. It's horrible, you know. And someone else mentioned it to me. Let's call him over here as well. And that again becomes politics. So, in not just in Krishna consciousness, but even in the outside world, being right is not enough. You got to be right in the right way. And if you're right in the wrong way, you end up being wrong. You got to be right the right way. And that's, I mean, that works also like that in the outside world. For instance, in the courts of law, you can't, I mean, they take it really to extremes, right? Someone breaks in your house and attacks you and wants to steal, and you knock him unconscious, although he's wrong, you're the one who ends up in jail, because it's not enough that, you know, you're right. But how you're about to catch the thief is also so much of an issue that you may end up in jail and he's out scot-free just because you banged him overhead with a table lamp or something like that. There was an example of that in Scotland or something. It was up here that someone broke in and attacked, and the person did something, and the man ended up in jail, and that's a little too far, but this is what I wanted to read yesterday. This is always so inspiring. It was on the podcast, but then I had this all translated and I gave it to all the Sanctan Buddhists. Everyone has been hanging on the wall. It's sort of like a basic constitution for ISKCON. The main thing is to distribute books more and more. That remark by the man in Houston is to your credit, that this movement is becoming an epidemic. Actually, everywhere, envious people are against this movement, especially communists, because this movement is a threat to them. The main thing is to distribute books. The communist ideas have spread practically all over the world on account of distributing huge amounts of literature, but they have no substance. Introduce Rath Yatra very nicely and distribute books. I'm very glad to hear how the book distribution is increasing more and more. This is our greatest weapon. The more books are distributed, the more the ignorance of the age of Kali will be smashed. The world is feeling the weight of this Hare Krishna movement, especially in your country. We have to increase this book distribution more and more to firmly establish this movement, which is the only hope for suffering living entities. Your book distribution report is very encouraging. If I see our leaders are enthusiastic, that gives me more enthusiasm. Your suggestion to get new buses is good. I always recommended that. I don't like old vehicles. I think 100 buses are not sufficient for America. Your proposal, you know, there are those, Radha Damodar. You propose to introduce the American people to surrender to Lord Chaitanya by expansion of book distribution. That is wanted. When you come to that, that is success. Then you can take charge of the government. And as soon as in America the Krishna conscious boys are in power, the whole world will be changed. We're a little far from that, but we are the only hope for the human society to receive real knowledge, and our books are the only real thing. So it may some time, may take some time, but one day all this rubbish literature, rubbish philosophy, rubbish culture will be replaced. This is my only ambition, that so many people can become enlightened. But they are being deprived of the chance. One day the whole world will appreciate how we have changed the face of the world from darkness to light. This year, book distribution must increase more than double. You can understand this was going on from 1975 to 77. Every year Prabhupada said, it's got to double. We have so many plans. We're building Mayapur City, so Krishna must increase our book sales more and more. In the future, there will be history of how the Vedic culture was introduced in America. We are actually introducing a new style of life and civilization. Everything should be ideal. Others have never dreamt of such civilization. Free life, happy life, no anxiety, and hope. Great hope that we are going back home, back to Godhead. By increasing the selling of books, America, and then the whole world will become Krishna conscious. All the world is in darkness. The scientists, Darwin, Freud, all in darkness. This is the only institute that is giving some light. You must be convinced of this in order to preach effectively. We have no other business than to make people happy. By book distribution, your country will become happy and prosperous. No cheating, no politics, no personal ambition, not a tinge of personal sense gratification. This is our mission. There are no such things in the Krishna consciousness movement. Our only ambition is to live among the devotees and execute the mission of our predecessors, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Krishna. You are responding. Your responding means America is responding. If 1/4 of America becomes Vaishnava, the whole world will change. Krishna has given all facilities, good land, education, fabulous prestige. Take this opportunity. This is our ambition. I went to America with this ambition, that the American people would take this Krishna consciousness movement. My Guru Maharaj, physically, he's not here, but in every action, he is here. So I'm not going to die. You are my bodies. By your words, book distribution will double. Yes, be doubly blessed. Don't you see that this printing is my life? Then do it, otherwise you're killing me. That's heavy. If you don't arrange this, then you are half killing me. Either kill me full or give me peace. How do you expect me to have peace if you don't organize this? I want to immediately spread Krishna consciousness everywhere. Our unique contribution is deity worship and large-scale distribution of Indian cultural tradition. This is the Krishna consciousness movement. So this is pressure. If you love me, you will not fight. Stay united. Don't let this become another Gaudiya Mat. Maintain the society in my absence. Do not let it deteriorate. Sometimes it gives me pain that I am in prison. Now Prabhupada's talking about being ill. Because I'm a freedom lover. I have a sentiment for my Guru Maharaj's order. I started in the US with rupees 40. Still, even in this condition, I'm trying to write books, and practically I'm whipping them. Sell books, sell books. Lately I'm becoming morose, because I'm becoming tired. So if you all work vigorously to spread Krishna consciousness, then my moroseness will go. Religion means direct touch with God. They have no idea what is God. So how can they know about religion? Now it is in your hands. You are resourceful, intelligent. Now spread this Krishna conscious philosophy and challenge this Mayavad philosophy. This is a new historical renaissance. Historians will note this period, how the world has changed.